Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. Since starting the podcast in 2018, it's been a while now, I have been asked every now and again, can you do an episode on, like, how do we make mom friends? And I've been putting it off because, right, I would say I had only lived in a new state for a year before starting the show. So I felt completely inadequate as I was, you know, in my late 30s, starting all over and trying to make friends to share advice on how to make mom friends. Even though I've always, you know, been surrounded by a lot of friends, I am an extroverted person who was a camp counselor forever. Like, I put myself out there and have no problem with doing that. So I have a lot of friends. But when I moved to a new state, that changed immediately, and I hardly knew anyone. So it's taken me a few years to really build quality friendships and to be able to say, hey, I think I can do a podcast episode on how to make mom friends. So here we are today, and I would love to share 5 tips for quality friendships, because I think it's so important that we're not just making friends with whoever we can make friends with, but really developing those core relationships that when emergent situations happen, we know we have people to call and people to trust. And then, yes, it's great to have the friendships that aren't as deep as that. But when we're searching and striving for new friendships or even just further cultivating our current friendships, I thought I'd share tips on how I've been doing that recently and what has made a big impact for me. And normally when it's a solo episode with just you and me, I just talk. But considering it had been a while since I'd really thought about the whole process I go through and how picky I am with the people I let into my life, I was like, well, maybe I should just write like an outline and a few paragraphs. Over 2,000 words later, I decided I'm qualified to have this conversation with you. So I hope you enjoy and these tips are helpful. Okay, let's dive right in to my first one on how to make friends with other moms. And that's really going to start with being prepared for making mom friends. Nope, I don't start with where to meet moms. I start with preparing, because I think it's something we don't talk about often enough, but it's really important, and asking yourself a few questions. So the first question I recommend is, am I ready to make new mom friends? You're like, Jen, I'm listening to this episode. I'm ready to make mom friends. But really, like, are you ready? Are you in the right space to bring people into your life? Now, if you're, you know, struggling really badly in your relationship, or your basement just flooded, or you just got in a car wreck, it might not be the best time to put yourself out there and try to make a new friend. But if you're going through a divorce, even though that's a really hard time in your life, it could be an incredible time to connect with a fellow divorcee and build a really strong friendship with one another. So I think it's just really examining how things are going in your life and what you have the capacity to take on. But if things feel really chaotic, I just encourage you to maybe work on yourself for the time being and work on the current friendships and great family that you're surrounded with in those relationships, because we tend to attract what we put out. So if you're putting out a lot of chaos, chaotic energy, then that might be who you attract into your life, and they're not necessarily the best fit to develop a quality friendship with. So yeah, it's kind of like dating. You want to make sure you're in the right headspace before dating and making a new friend. Like, a real quality friend, not an acquaintance, is a lot like dating. And you'll see the crossovers as we go through those tips. So I think it's really important just to ask yourself, oh my gosh, am I even in the space right now for a new friendship? And once you're like, heck yeah, I'm ready for a friend, Then you need to ask yourself, do I even have time? Do I have time for this new friend? Like, as I just said, like, it's gonna take some work to cultivate a friendship. So if you already don't even have time for your existing friends, then maybe work on those friendships a little more. But if you got the time in your calendar, even if it's just a monthly coffee date, then you're good to go. The next question I encourage you to ask, and this isn't something I started doing until my 30s and really becoming a mom, is what are my friendship non-negotiables? What are those things that I'm just unwilling to budge on when it comes to bringing people into my bubble? And I'm a big girl, I'm plus size, so I don't want someone who's fat phobic in my close bubble. And for so many years of my life, especially as a teenager, I didn't have that non-negotiable. And I surrounded myself by sometimes friends that made me feel especially bad about my body, and other friends who were chronically dieting and influencing me to diet in ways that only harmed my body. So now I don't tolerate people who make me feel ashamed of myself. But I love a good walking buddy. So that's one of my new friends, Monica. She's not a mom, but we were fellow bloggers at the time she was blogging when we connected. And I just really liked her. There was a lot, you know, you sometimes just feel that magnetic energy with someone. And I'm like, ooh, I would really like you in my life. Walking is something I enjoy. And so Monica does too. And we walk together. And she meets me at my pace, right? She's more athletic and can go much faster, but she has never once made me feel like I have to try to catch up with her. She has never once made me feel ashamed when I needed to stop or even when I got heat stroke. Full on, she like rubbed my back as I projectile vomited. Like, that was a true test of our blossoming friendship. And she was there for me. So I think it's a balance. There's nothing wrong with having active friends in your life that you want to go be active with. Absolutely. I encourage it. That's wonderful. But how do they make you feel? Do they make you feel included in those moments if you're not as physically fit as they might be? And there's that balance. Other non-negotiables. I don't want racist, sexist, or homophobic people in my life, let alone being exposed to my child, right? Like, people who spend time with our children pick up on things and they learn things and they learn behaviors and they hear words. And that's just a non-negotiable for me. I think many of us have family members that might be a little bit questionable. You know, that uncle that might be a little homophobic. And while I don't enjoy that and I don't bring up certain conversations, there's still a part of my life at an arm's distance. But I'm not going to welcome someone in and reach out my arms to them and welcome them into my life if they are a certain list of things that I have that are non-negotiables for me. So you have to sit back and really ask yourself, what are my non-negotiables? It is beautiful, and I encourage you to have people of all different backgrounds and values and walks of life in your world, right? If you look at all your friends and they all look the same, let's do some work to change that up. However, there are going to be some core values that you want to share with certain people that you really want to build deep and long-standing friendships and relationships with. By all means, you don't need to agree on everything, but there will be certain things that are really important for those really close relationships. So really think on that, like make a list. What are my friendship non-negotiables? And then, you know, it's time to really evaluate how you look in the world. And I'm not talking about your appearance at all. I am talking about what does my social media say about me? Because when it comes to developing friendships and dating and all those things, like, people are gonna look into you. They're gonna Google you. They're gonna look at your social media. Whether they do it when they're first getting to know you or over time, like, if there's something there that doesn't need to be there, or you don't want to be there, or was a meme that you shared years ago that you still don't, that you don't hold that value anymore, then delete the meme. Like, don't curate this fake identity. I'm not saying that at all. But look, especially like with Facebook, many people just assume that their page is private, so everything's locked down. That's not the case at all. There's a public view, and I'll put a link in the show notes on how to find it. Like, there's parts of your content that you may not even realize are public view because they were marked public and not for friends only. So you really want to evaluate how you look to others, because that might not actually be how you are currently or how you want to represent yourself. And I think that that's really important. And I think it's important that you scope out, not do a deep dive. You don't need to hire a PI, but at least look at people's social media. What do they publicly display? So you can see, you know, oh yeah, no, this, I want to get to know them better. And then also, as we go into like, when you exchange information, like if you become Facebook friends or Instagram friends, like, yes, look at their profile and see, you know, kind of the vibe that you get. So I would go through your social medias, from Facebook to Instagram to TikTok to even Pinterest, and see, ask yourself, would I want to be friends with this person? And then take a step back and look at what you share and how you represent yourself. Again, don't delete everything and curate some fake identity, but make sure you don't have anything on there that you don't want people to see. I mean, this will help you for future job interviews too, and other stuff too. It's just, I think it's important for us to evaluate our social footprint every now and then and see what's out there. And while you're at it, Google yourself too. So that's the first step, I think, is really asking yourself, am I prepared to have new friendships at this point in time? Do I have time? What is really important to me? What are my core values? And then, you know, social media is so much of a part of our daily lives and how we engage and interact with people. Like it or not, it is something that we need to just take a look at and evaluate every now and then. So that's where I would begin. Okay, so how do you actually make friends in your area or online? And I think this is where most information on making new friends, new mom friends, jumps off from. But I think it's important to look internally and look at our socials first. So then, like, where do you find mom friends? I mean, technically anywhere, right? My mother-in-law can make a new friend at the grocery store when she's checking out. Like, she can make friends anywhere. But it's hard to build, like, a flourishing relationship in a checkout line. So I have a list of a few places that I jotted down that I think are popular places to maybe invest some of your time in finding some new mom friends. And I just want to say before we go through these, like, okay, once you make that connection, ask for their digits, which I know can be intimidating, even for an extrovert like me. I will never forget how I met my friend Jessica, who actually just called me recently and was like, I miss you, and also spurred up me wanting to do this episode again, because I'm not the greatest at keeping in touch with her, but she's really worked on our friendship, and I so deeply appreciate that, and it makes me want to do better because she's the type of person who's a lifelong friendship. Anyways, love you, Jessica. But we met because we had the same doula who supported us during our pregnancies, and our doula had like a meetup with all of her families. And I saw Jessica and her adorable daughter, Margot, and I was like, ooh, I really want to be your friend. It was again like that magnetic, like, there's something about you. Like, I want to get to know you better. And like, our kids are the same age and we have a lot of the same similar values. And oh gosh, I really like you, but I don't know how to do this. And as I was like thinking, what could I say? Like, hi, want to be friends? She was like, hey, can we connect sometime? I'd love to do like a play date. And I was like, oh, I was so excited. And that was the moment we became friends. And our kids were, oh my gosh, I don't even think 2 at the time. And now they're like 12. So it's really great when you go to an event or something and someone comes up to you and says something to you. But I want to encourage you, if that doesn't happen, if you don't have a Jessica moment, which many times for me, it's not that, because I tend to be more extroverted and I'm the one, instead of being like, hi, can we be friends? I'd be like, hey, I really enjoy talking to you. Are you on Instagram or Facebook? Can we connect on socials. And that's where I usually start because that tends to be a little more comfortable. And I'll often hand them my phone so they can type in their name. So I'm not like, what was your name again? Or how do I spell it? Like, they're typing in their name. That's something I do quite often. Or you can say, I'd love to get your phone number. So I think that that's one way that I've gone about it that has been pretty successful in the friend making space. So knowing that we're going to walk through where to find friends, but also once you make that connection, gotta put yourself out there, which I know could be really hard, even for extroverts like myself, but especially for introverts. So just say something like, I'd love to get to know you better, or it seems like our kids get along really well. You know, can we exchange information? So I think when we come to like, okay, how do I make new friends? Where do I even start? An easy go-to is social media. It's where we spend a lot of time. Like it or not, it is what it is, and it's become such a part of how we engage with others. So I think making connections with people on social media can also be an easier way to vet people to make sure that they're like-minded individuals. I know for me, when I was moving to Albuquerque, I have more of like a peaceful attachment parenting philosophy with how we've raised our son. And so I found the Albuquerque Attachment Mamas page. And that was like, oh, okay, cool. And that's where I was like, hey, where do I find a pediatrician that is a little more holistic? And that's how I found my pediatrician. How about a dentist? That's how I found my dentist. You know, like, it's a great space to meet local parents, especially by searching for not just moms in Albuquerque, which there are those groups. And I think I was in one for a bit, but straight up mom groups can be a little toxic or filled with drama. And maybe that's your cup of tea. I loved more of that stuff when I was younger, but now I'm older and I just don't want to debate or have confrontation. But sometimes it can be a little fun on social media. Oh gosh, I can be a little into debating a bit. I am an Irish woman, but I just don't want to make time for that these days. So I want to join a local group that isn't just for parents, but has another element to it that's the right fit for me. So thinking of beyond just a local mom's group, but like what type of mom's group do you want to join? And then making sure it's an active group. Maybe you live in a smaller city than I do, and the main group is the most active. There's nothing wrong with that. Just set some healthy boundaries and don't be a keyboard warrior and you don't need to engage with everything and everyone. Like, you can't save everyone or get your point across all the time. So it's just not worth it on social media. I mean, sometimes it is. Depends on what the debate is. You know what I'm saying. And then, of course, there's kids, schools, and activities and, you know, I, for one, am pretty guilty of, you know, just being on my phone taking pictures for the grandparents and, you know, checking up on social media. And when my son did swim lessons, of course, like waving and watching him, but there's only so much waving and watching you do. I mean, when they're really little, you watch them the whole time because, you know, there's multiple reasons, their safety, and they're so darn cute. But as they get older, I, for one, don't watch the whole time, whether it's soccer or swimming, unless there's a game or, you know, something they want to show me. So I think we can so easily just in that time be like, oh my gosh, I get a few moments of peace and just be on our phones. But I want to encourage you to look around. Who are those other parents sitting there that are kind of looking around? And maybe you like 1 week kind of inch closer to them, and the next week you say, hi, and I'm Jen, and introduce yourself. So that can be a really great space to meet new mom friends because they're involved in the same types of activities you are as well. That getting involved with the school, it doesn't have to be the PTA. You can just volunteer at your kid's school, and that's a really great place to become more involved as a parent and then also to make some friends. That has not been something that I have been the greatest at. I am a workaholic, so that's not a strong suit of mine, but I really admire my friends that are very, very involved in their kids' schools, and I know they've made some great friends because of it, and I think that's pretty awesome. But here's something I have done when it comes to school friends is I try when Brayden is invited to a birthday party to not just bring Brayden. My kiddo's older now, and so often parents just drop off their kids and leave. I really make an effort to stay. And that's how I've made a great mom friend out here, is that I offer to stay and I'm a helper. So I'm like, hey, can I help cut the cake? Or what can I help with, right? Like, how can I, and I just pick up. And so that can be a great way to make friends too, not only helping the hostess, but maybe becoming good friends with the hostess, but hanging out with the other parents that are staying too. And like, it's often not a lot of parents for older kids' parties. It often is a lot for younger kids' parties, but really putting yourself out there and talking, which I know is so hard for some people, but when you're a parent, you know, you can just focus the questions and content on the kiddos for a bit and then go into other things as well. You know, if you have any parenting struggles at the moment, like, people love to share their opinions. So asking questions about people's children can be another really great way to get the conversation rolling as well. And then there's your neighborhood. I wish my son has exposure to the same childhood that I did, where we would just play and ride our bikes out in the street until the lights came on. And that's just not the reality living so close to the city and in the area that we do. But if you have more of a neighborhood walkable area and you can go for walks or play out in the front yard, just put yourself out there in your own neighborhood. Go to those local parks. And when you see another parent, like, I really encourage you to build up the courage to say hi and introduce yourself, because you can have lifelong relationships that are wonderful with neighbors as well. And then, of course, the tried and true way that many people find a friend or a date is social groups, online or in person, be it your church or a knitting group or a blogging group. Like, I had a friend that connected me with a mutual friend here in Albuquerque before I even moved here. And she was like, oh, you'll love my friend Brianna. She's a blogger. Brianna's my bestie out here. Like, I absolutely adore her. We are so, so close. And I'm so thankful to have her in my life. But we met through the blogging group that she heads up, and it's her group. When my husband and son got in a horrible car crash, she was the one that headed up a little fundraiser and gave our family a grocery cart and was there at the hospital. Like, I'm just so lucky, and that friendship blossomed out of me going to a group of a hobby, well, business for me, but like, of something that I'm passionate about and enjoy. So I really encourage you, if you don't already have a group or something that you attend regularly, to think about your hobbies and go, and your interests, and go onto sites like meetup.com and see if there is a local group already established. You'd be amazed. Like, frisbee golf, there's frisbee golf groups, there's walking groups, there's religious groups, there's non-religious groups, there's, you know, all different types of groups. And I know putting yourself out there can be hard and scary, even for extroverts like me, but oh my gosh, I can't imagine not having Brianna in my life. I truly can't. So those are some popular ways to meet moms and make friends. I'm sure they're all ones you already knew of, but maybe there were just some tips within there that'll make you think next time, especially at like a kid's sporting event, to like put down the phone and look around and introduce yourself to a new friend. Are you plus size and pregnant or trying to conceive? Do you wonder where you can find cute plus size maternity clothes? Or when you'll start showing and how to embrace your pregnant body? What about having a healthy pregnancy and how to reduce your increased risk? Find the answers to these questions and so much more within the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. From nutrition and physical activity to prenatal care expectations and the importance of hiring a size-friendly care provider, you'll not only learn information to help you make informed decisions throughout your pregnancy, but start to develop a new relationship with your body. Download this guide and start using it at any point in your pregnancy. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Use code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. All right. So first, we've done some good self-evaluation. We've decided we're ready to make new friends. And we've gone to different places. And guess what? We've made some friends, like some contacts, right? We've like gotten our information out there and we've gotten other people's information. So now our next step is to plan to meet. So our first place, like, how do we go about like, okay, now what's that next step? The first date, inviting out for the first date. When you have kids around the same age, that's the easiest way, I think, to just be like, hey, let's set up a play date for the kids, right? For the kids. It's all for the kids. No, it's for you too. Absolutely, it's for you too. I think that that can be the best way to set up that first, like, friend date, is to set up a play date. And pick a public area, be it a park, library. A lot of malls have really rad free play areas or another accessible space. I encourage to start somewhere free. There are so many free places that you can take your kids. So what's if you don't have kids the same age or you just need a break from the kiddos? I think coffee shops, in my experience, have been a fantastic space because first of all, it's natural to make your own order, go up and order your own coffee. There's not that confusion over, oh, let me, I'm always like, oh, I'll get the tab. I'm always like that person that wants to get the tab, but then things are awkward. Like then they feel like they might have to do it next time and we have to switch and like, just go Dutch. It's so much easier. And a coffee shop makes that so much clearer in the beginning. Also with a coffee shop, it's natural to either leave when you're done sipping, which could be as quick as like 30 minutes, or you could spend hours there gabbing and you're not holding up a table at a restaurant. So I think a coffee shop can be a great spot. So if things aren't going well, it can be like, oh, you know, I finished my coffee. This was great. I got to run some more errands. You know, you can cut it short if it's not the right fit. And listen to your intuition. Like, don't feel obligated to build a friendship with someone who is not the right fit for you and your family. I will absolutely say that. Be polite. I am super polite, but I am very, very picky with who I really let in. If you want to do lunch or dinner, by all means, go for it. I had my best first friend date ever was here in Albuquerque with Courtney. And if you follow me over on the Plus Mommy Instagram, you will see that I play Dungeons and Dragons with Courtney and her family and another couple. That is my family's new obsession, is Dungeons and Dragons. But Courtney and I had like the best first friendship date ever. It was just going to be a dinner. And then it turned into dinner and drinks. And we ended up at like a club. It was so much fun. Like, we just talked nonstop. It was the best first friend date. And we got introduced because we had been Facebook friends. As a birth professional, I've connected with people, you know, around the world. And so we were Facebook friends forever. And I knew she lived in Albuquerque and I lived in Albuquerque. We're like, hey, we should grab dinner and drinks. So since we'd been Facebook friends for a long time and kind of had a feel from each other, that felt a little more natural to do dinner. So, you know, feel what feels right. But if you don't know the person at all, definitely stick to somewhere free, accessible, or a coffee shop where it's inexpensive. You know, a great park play date with Starbucks is always great too. I do want to give the cautionary tale that unless you've spent some time with this person, even if they give you the best vibes ever, don't invite them to your home and don't go to their home. And I know this might sound like, okay, Jen, this is a bit much, but I just think for safety, it's just, when there are so many other places that you can go, why go into someone's home until you know that there's someone that you really want to spend a lot of time with? I'll also say I really like picking where I'm going to meet with people because then I can know as a plus size person that there will be chairs without arms or benches that are comfortable to sit on. So I like to pick the place. Now, if someone else picks it, I immediately go onto Google and scope out to make sure that there is inclusive seating. And that's something that we can talk about. And I've done an episode on like how to be, you know, a good thin ally to your plus size friends. And over time, really teaching your friends about your needs. Like, we don't have a lot of needs, but some of us have a little bit of needs that make life far more comfortable and accessible for us. And for me, that's chairs without arms, sturdy chairs. And I'm only 5 feet tall and a half inch, so I don't like high tops at bars. They're hard for me to climb on, sit on, stay on. It doesn't work for me. And so often it feels really like a lot of labor to have to explain, oh, if you go to this bar, when was the last time I went to a bar? I don't even know. If you go to this restaurant, we'll go with that. If you go to this restaurant, please make sure we're not in a booth, right? Because booths can be too tight, and please do this and please do that. Like, it's a lot. So sometimes it's just easier for me to pick the spot or scope out the spot, because I also don't want to be a nervous mess when I show up somewhere and I don't know what the seating's going to be like. And then it's awkward because my initial thing is like, oh, yeah, so can we sit somewhere else? Like, that's not how I want to start things. And yeah, this is a little extra legwork for us plus size people, but you want to be comfortable and you want to feel confident and good. And these are just things that we have to take into consideration. So those are things to remember too. Try to pick out the spot, or if you can't, make sure you've vetted the spot. So yeah, put yourself out there. After you've met once and exchanged contact, reach out. The worst someone can say is, nope, I'm not up for it, or maybe another time, and then you never schedule that first mom date. But the best outcome is a new best friend, and I think that's really worth the fear of rejection. It's worth it. It is so, so worth it. And I want to talk briefly about, like, well, how do we connect with friends online in real life? Like that mom group that I'm in, right? People will be like, let's set up a play date. And everyone's like, yeah, let's. And everyone gets all excited. And then it never happens. So I think that can be hard too if you're in like a local Facebook group, which is a great way to meet local parents, but they're never doing events. Unless you are an event planner and someone who likes planning events, I just encourage just a little thinking outside of the box and looking to see what family-friendly events are coming up. Events that you would be attending anyway. Like recently, the fair was here in Albuquerque. So that could be a really great thing to post in a local mom's Facebook group that's like, hi, my family's going to the fair this Saturday. Will anyone else be there? I would really love to make some new mom friends. Like, that feels a little safer, a little like, and unless you having to plan something, like, we're going to be at this location at this time at this spot. And then you see who shows up and you just set low expectations, right? Because you were going to go there anyways. So don't be bummed if not a lot of people show up, but then keep doing that. What is the next local event? We have a big hot air balloon fiesta here in New Mexico. So that could be the next thing that would be like, hey, I'm going to be at the balloon fiesta on Sunday. I'll be by, I don't know, the purple tent at 1 p.m. for anyone who would like to join. We're going to eat churros. I don't know. Just like, figure it out. Don't worry about it too much or too many of the details. But like, just come up with a when, where, and why, because you're awesome and you want to make new friends. So I think that works a little better than just saying, hi, who wants to have a meetup? Because that doesn't always help follow through. But if you have a very active and engaged social media group, a local one that meets up all the time, everyone listening is jealous of you right now, and that's incredible. What about friends that you meet online that live in other countries or other states, and you geographically just cannot meet in person, but you really have been building a great friendship online? Those friendships are real. They're genuine. For so many years, people would be like, it's just social media. It's just social media. Well, now social media is how we socially engage in society and how we cultivate relationships. And while that is wonderful, I will also remind you that text has no tone. You hear me on the show, I have a lot of inflection with how I talk. And I laugh, and I'm me, and you get a feeling for me and who I am. When I'm typing, I use emojis because I like to emote all the feeling that I express when I talk. But aside from emojis, there's no tone. And so you get to know someone absolutely and build a friendship, But I encourage you with online friends to take it to the next level. I encourage you to set up a FaceTime date. And if you don't have iPhones, that's fine too. You can use Zoom, or if you're messaging on Facebook Messenger, you can click the little video icon on the top right corner on your phone and ta-da, you're on video. But definitely like set that up in advance, because if someone hit video on me right now, they would see me with like no bra, hair in a messy bun. I think I brushed my teeth this morning. Like, I don't want to see anyone right now. I am happy to talk with all you wonderful people without you seeing me. But talking is comfortable for me right now. Video is not. But at some point, to build that deeper connection with online friends, I encourage video. I have a Zoom date I do with two of my friends in Denver, and I love it, and we catch up, and it's just, it's fun, and it's nice, and it has deepened our relationship on a whole nother level that I've really, really enjoyed cultivating. And we started doing that because of the pandemic, and I'm so thankful that we did. And that perfectly brings us into step number four, which is cultivating mom friendships. So to walk you through again, step number one is looking internally, doing that self-work. Step number two is, okay, well then where do we even find new mom friends? And we've gone through all that. Step three was like planning to meet. Where do we meet? How do we go about doing that? And now we're moving on to cultivating those friendships. And that's why one of those questions we asked in the beginning is like, do I even have time? Because it's not just that one-off time where you have a play date. If you really want to build a quality friendship, you don't get together weekly necessarily, but you're going to be talking a couple times a month, messaging, and then hopefully you can see each other a couple times a month. I mean, that can be a lot for a busy schedule, especially if kids are in, you know, activities after school. But cultivating that friendship, having those standing mom or play dates, going onto their social media and liking their content, giving them a thumbs up, like engaging with their daily life without having to communicate on a daily basis. I think just reminding people that you were there as you were building the friendship. Now, you don't have to do this every single day, but, you know, it's like you building a new relationship. You gradually, over time. It's interesting how the social media algorithms work, right? The more we engage with something, the more we see it, because we will literally stay on longer on those social platforms, right? Because it's something we enjoy. So we enjoy building and cultivating those relationships, and we enjoy seeing those people. So continue to do that online as well. I wanted to bring up something because I have a friend that text messages make her anxious, and I also have anxiety, and they make me feel like I have to respond right away as well. So ask your friend, like, what way would you prefer that I communicate with you? Because if you want to send a random mom meme, like, a text might not be the best way to go about it. Maybe Facebook Messenger or messaging on Instagram is preferable. So ask, definitely ask as well. But yeah, just work to cultivate that friendship. And if they don't get back to you right away, don't take it personally, because people are busy, right? Parents especially are very busy, and new parents even more so. Sleep deprived, you know, they're lucky if they can remember to shower, let alone to respond to the funny mom meme you sent. So don't take it personally, just keep reaching out. And then that moves us into our last tip. Tip number five, evaluate your friendships. Because I said keep reaching out, but there comes a point in time when you're the only one reaching out. And that's when the friendship becomes a chore. So it's continuously evaluating your friendships. And if it's gotten to the point where you're the only one working on the relationship, then stop working so hard. It's like my friend Jessica. I love her. I would do anything she needed of me, but I haven't been as good as keeping in touch, and I need to do a better job, but I am so appreciative that she keeps reaching out. But eventually she'll stop, and I don't want that to happen, so I need to be better about reaching out too. So again, it doesn't mean that someone doesn't care about you just because they're not getting back to you. They just need to be better about it, and sometimes you stopping will help them to realize. And those friendships can take breaks, right? And ebb and flow, And I think this quote that I love is like, I hate it. I hate to love it. But people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And that's Brian Chalker. And it's so true, but it's so painful, especially with, oh gosh, my bridesmaid. Especially with certain people that you really thought would be in your life forever and they're not anymore. And it's likely healthier that they're not, even though it still hurts. So I think it's important to remember that, and quality friendships will come back together, and they will and can last a lifetime, or they can last just a short reason or a season. And all of that is okay. It just takes time to get to the point where you realize that that's okay. And I think the older that I've gotten, the more I realize I really care deeply about who's in my daily bubble, who is in my weekly bubble, my monthly bubble. Like, there will always be so many friends, and I wish I could squeeze them all into one little party once a year and we'd all hang out. But that's not realistic. But I know that there's a finite amount of time every day that I can devote to my work, to my family, to my health, to my sleep, to all those things, right? And I need to really carve out time for those people that I want in my bubble all the time. And it doesn't mean that I don't love everyone else or care about everyone else. It just means that I'm working on cultivating those relationships that are really healthy and important to me. And especially local relationships and people who I see in person. And I've become very picky with who I do and do not let into my family's life. And that was really hard when we first moved here. And making some friendships and realizing, ooh, I really don't want these people in my life, and then just slowly, like, not responding to things as much and not inviting things. And then often things just fade away. Benign neglect is something that we use at times, because it can be hard to just be like, no, our values don't align, I don't want to be friends. But sometimes that's necessary as well. But I think it's really important to set healthy boundaries with friends that aren't maybe the right fit, and then devote extra time to those who enrich your life, and you will be so amazed at how much of a positive impact these relationships will make in your entire life. Like, oh, my life is so beautiful with really being very, very selective of who I invite into it, while also creating space for the acquaintances and the other people who I enjoy time with, but I just don't have the ability to cultivate those deep relationships with. So I hope this was helpful. I hope even with an outline, I didn't ramble as much. I'll have to, when I play this back through and editing it, it'll be interesting, because I feel like I normally just speak from my heart and I don't have an outline and it flows. So I don't know if this felt more choppy because I did have an outline, but it was helpful because there was so much I wanted to share and so many tips, and I'm sure there's even more suggestions that you have that you could share. And so I hope you'll go over to plusmommy.com to the show notes for this episode and add some of your own advice and tips, and let me know how you felt about this episode as well, because I don't get a lot of feedback as a podcaster, and let me tell you, as a people pleaser, that's a tough thing. So if you haven't already and you've enjoyed this episode or any episode I've put out, please, especially if you listen on Apple Podcasts, give me that 5-star review and spend an extra minute to leave some words. I can't even explain to you how much this means to me. When people review the show, and it helps other people to know about the show. And yeah, I just spent like the whole day writing this article and recording this episode, and I hope that it was something that you'll really enjoy and get out of, and it helped me to reflect back on my friendships and my relationships and feel pretty special that I've carved out an amazing group of people here in my life in Albuquerque. Whereas, you know, when I started this podcast, I had barely just moved here and hardly knew anyone and felt really alone. So I'm also here to tell you, if you're feeling alone, you can absolutely, absolutely make fantastic friendships. You just got to put yourself out there a bit. And I know that can be hard, but it's worth it. Okay, friends, until next time, goodbye, take care.